Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back again for joining us this weekend for another edition of On Point. I'm your host, A. Trey, and at my side, I have Miss Z, and she's going to be joining us today. We're about to start this topic off, bring something to your mind a little bit, maybe make you think a little. Actually, we'd like for you to join us in this discussion, so if you hear something you like, or if you just want to chime in, the number is 347-855-8662. And today, in our segment, FYI, for your information, our topic, Poor and Not Know It, the Strength of Mama's Purse. Okay, the American dollar has no value if it's not spent. And the average mother can arguably make up the base of our nation's entire economy. The ones who have so much, they only buy what's beyond the scope of what's normal spending, are not the ones who keep the economy moving. No, it's the mothers who work twice as hard and appear to have nothing to show for it, but always have the most current thing at home, the most modern devices, second generation, and know how to save a dollar in the face of what some call a depression. Some of these women should be the U.S. treasurers, or federal finance managers, treasury directors, because they know how to stretch a dollar, feed a family, and make the most of almost nothing to balance the home and protect the families in them. And today we're going to explore that right here at On Point. So
yes.
Let me start this off by saying that I believe that most of our economy is based on rich and poor. Unfortunately, that's a nasty scenario to be in. But they say that the average household that doesn't make over $50,000 is poor. $50,000 or $55,000 or more, you're middle class, and $75,000 to $80,000, you're upper middle class.
Mm-hmm.
Well, America is the only place where the poor, our poor, have, you know, a color TV in almost every room. they rock in a car. I don't care if it's out of date. They have a car too, three bedroom spot. You know, they have some of the smoothest furniture. They have an Xbox or a PlayStation. They have three cell phones at the home. our poor doesn't look the same, but it's the moms in the homes, and not the dads don't do it, but today we're about to talk about the moms. The moms in the homes provide these things.
Yes,
they keep the balance of the family. They keep the balance of our entire country.
I agree. And there is that percentage, let me just say, there is that percentage of women who are a large part of the working class moms. They are at the jobs and putting in the time and coming home and being a super mom at the same time. So there's a large percentage of women that are doing that. And I think there is also that other percentage of people, of moms rather, who have just learned how to work the system, you know, so to speak. So I would probably say that it's probably split down the middle, too. You know, half of us are on the job and putting the time in, and the other half of us have learned how to work the system. And in either case, they are doing what is necessary to provide for their families.
And the thing is, though, without these moms, without these mothers, and I'm not pulling the race card, but African-American and Latino mothers, without their spending,
sure,
would our economy collapse?
I don't know if it would collapse. I don't think it would collapse. I think that they have just learned how to, you know, how to be, as it were, content in the state that they're in. You know, they're doing what's necessary to keep their families going.
It's not that. It's the overall, the economy itself. Think about it. How many mothers do you know drive a brand new Ferrari?
Oh, no, none.
Or a brand new Lamborghini. A brand new Lamb.
I don't know any mothers that are doing that.
A 2017X Jag.
Not without putting the work in. The ones who are on the job and have the degrees, those moms
Here's the thing. And even moms without degrees could get those, can get some of those rides. But thing is, though, the cars that move the economy, that make those motor companies, GMs and Fords and Nissans and Toyotas, the ones that make them keep moving are the Toyota Celicas, Tercels, and the Nissan Sentras, the Camrys, you know, the Honda Accords, Nissan Altimas. Those cars move
right.
the economies.
Mm-hmm.
And those cars, you could go to somebody's house, their apartment, and they're rocking a Range Rover.
Yeah.
My point is this. If the mothers of our country ever decided to band together and check out the scope of their financial power, they'd be able to resurrect communities. Last year, they said that in clothing, female clothing, they spent $2.8 billion, and 96% of it was in the African American and Latino community. $2 billion in just a year. Just give.
I can believe that. Yeah.
Now think about what would $2 billion do for 100 neighborhoods?
Oh, my.
You
a lot.
Me? That's what I'm saying. The power of mama's purse is incredible. And it's not just it's not millennials. These are mothers who believe, you know, they work in a 9-to-5, you know, and I'm not discounting nurses, but, you know, you got the one who works at the library, the one who works at the car dealership, the one who works at the post office. These moms, the NAs, the CNAs, the caregivers, these females are rocking brand new things and bringing stuff home. They could set an influence for society, and they could influence how the community actually grows. What do you think would have to happen in order for them to do that? How do you think you could get all these women on one accord? See,
well, okay, if I can, I think for one, as a woman, when women go through childbirth, they automatically are focused on providing for that child by any means necessary. So whether they have the funds to do it or not, a mother has that natural instinct to automatically make sure that child is going to be okay. So whatever they do, that means that they are going to pinch pennies. They are going to make sure that they have something left over at the end of the month, you know, rather than having more month left at the end of the money. So that to make sure that that child is going to be okay. So, I mean, I grew up seeing my own mother do these things, and I always wonder, was there some kind of secret? But no, it was just her natural instinct to be able to know how to save, because you always put the needs of your children before your own. And I think that's what every mother does. They are always going to put the needs of their children before their own. And so, but yeah, you're right. If we as mothers could band together and pool our money and invest into something, oh yeah, we could make a difference in our community. We could absolutely, you know, build our own, have our own grocery stores in our community. We could absolutely have our own grocery stores. I mean, you know, have our own banks to go to where we could get money for a business loan or money to buy a house. Absolutely, it could be done. But where do we get that money from, though, is the thing. Where does it come from?
Well, it's not – that's the whole thing. According to Wall Street, you don't have that money. You don't have the money. They're looking at oil and NASDAQ, and they're looking at prime commodities, hard blue chip. McDonald's keeps flowing. They stay steady. Apple – stay steady. That, you know, female don't have a brand new pair of shoes, but she got a brand new iPhone 75, you know, and it's like that.
But well, I think McDonald's has learned the secret that you have to adjust your menu to the cost of living to make it affordable for people. So that's why more people are still able to go to McDonald's.
No, that's not it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, as an example, these places continue to thrive because of the the impoverished dollar, the lower money dollar.
And I'm saying that McDonald's changed their menu to accommodate those people. They changed their menu, the dollar menu. Now every restaurant almost has, well, not every restaurant, but every fast food restaurant has a value menu to accommodate those people. And not just those people, everybody, anybody who just wants to eat without having to spend $20, you know, to go to have a good time. You can go
and get a dollar
value.
That's
menu.
I get that. I'm saying that it matters a damn if they change their menu. If you don't have people coming in with money, the menu doesn't matter. I get your point that they changed it so that people can come in. But if people decided they didn't want to go in there anymore, they'd collapse. And just like I believe the entire balance would collapse. I believe that the balance of the U.S. dollar would crash if the people in our community didn't purchase things. Like the dollar store.
Mm-hmm.
They're making money hand over fist, but it's where they're getting their products from places that are either that were supposed to be defunct, have carryover stock. No problem, but they're making money back into the community. Because if you go to Scottsdale, you won't find a dollar store. You won't. Dollar General, they say, oh yeah, great, wonderful. No, we don't want that here. All right, great. So they will go to AJ's and Top of the Line, the name of the place, Top of the Line, and Trader Joe's. And they'll spend, you know, $6.50 for a carton of organic eggs. And I'm like, do you get it? It's a chicken. It dropped an egg. It's organic as hell. Nonetheless, you know what I'm saying? But I'm like, so they'll spend $6, but that's a select few people. If you put all of the people in Scottsdale and you say all your money will take care of the rest of the state would fold.
Mm-hmm.
If you took Phoenix, Mesa, and Tempe, the populace, the females, the mothers of those cities, and you put them together and you said your buying power, your spending power will take care of the state would continue to run. And I'm saying that because I believe that they have, we have a stronger sense of what it is to maintain a home. It's not all, it's, I mean, you've got people out there that are superficial, that are materialistic, but I think they think beyond that. They stretch a dollar, they'll go get a pair of $20 shoes that look like a pair of Manolos or Christian, what are those, Chris, whatever, the one with the red Louboutin.
Christian Louboutin.
Yeah. So you have, you that female in Scottsdale will buy one pair at $700, and that sister, that young lady over there, you know, she's going to go purchase six pair of those fitted pants, three skirts, two blouses, and eight pair of shoes with the same $600, and still have enough to, you know, go grocery shopping and then come back and kick it. And the depression missed everybody here.
And there it is. And there it is. A woman will find a way to stretch her dollars by going to a store that can accommodate what she has to spend. You know, so why, so and if that were the mentality of a lot of other women who were in that, I guess, that group of people who needed to be there, you know, everybody would be able to find something to accommodate what they have to work with. And I think that's the overall mentality of a lot of women. We find those stores or those grocery stores, you know, that will accommodate what we have to work with. You know, that's any mom, though. She'll find whatever store is available to her to work with what she has to spend, you know. And that's simply called living within her means. Living within her means.
So, do you think that most of our nation lives outside of its means?
Yeah, a lot of us do. A lot of, because like I said, a lot of us do end up having more month left at the end of the money rather than more money left at the end of the month. So, and that's the issue. Some of us do live beyond our means where we don't have enough, you know, left to get through our bills because we've already spent all that money on buying the latest cell phones or the latest sneakers or the latest bag or whatever it is, you know. So some of us, but the rest of us, we have our priorities in line to make sure that we're going to be okay and that our, most of all, our children are going to be okay.
Well, not the fact that the children are going to be neglected, because that's always a given. It's just that inner driven motivation to survive. Moms, neighborhood moms, community moms, African American moms, Latino moms, they spend like there's no tomorrow, and they save like there's no tomorrow. They save, oh, my God, this is going to be the last dollar I have, and I don't know if I'll make it till tomorrow. And, you know, you give her $20, and she'll go to the supermarket and make miracles happen for dinner. You give that female, you get a female in Paradise Valley or Scottsdale the same $20, and she says, oh, my God, I really have to get a bargain. I found a steak that was $16. Oh, my God. What a buy.
Well, mind you, I know a few men who are able to do that, too. So,
yeah. Well, you know, some fellas do. Listen, I figure, you know, just because he's on a coin doesn't mean you can't squeeze him until he cries. But my thing is, you know, if we as a community adopt some of the same type of spending habits that moms use to take care of their homes, we could take care of a community.
Sure.
Checking out a statistic, they said that this actually started back in 2010. It revisited in 2013 that there was $32.2 billion spent on hair care. That's not many.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got a couple of fellas in there, you know, because, you know, they got to be whipped up. But that's not men.
Mm-hmm.
$30 billion. Billion. Illion with a B in the front of it for a hair care product.
Well, the Chinese people are capitalizing off of all of that stuff. So the thing is, how do we get that in our own communities where the manufacturers are blacks, you know, or, you know, in the black community. So the Chinese people are making a killing hand over a fist off of hair care products that women buy.
I don't know if it's just Chinese. I think it's the industry. I think because they have women in India who chop their hair to sell it. They're selling their hair. And
mm-hmm.
somebody's buying. They have hair brokers. And somebody's buying their hair. And
mm-hmm.
and somebody's buying their hair and then they sell it over here for this ridiculous price. And so they make a wig,
right.
you know, out of portion of her hair, and you're like, where'd that come from? And I'm like this, you could do the same thing to fix up your home. You see people, they got brand new cars outside, or you know, but their roof is tattered and torn. You know, they, and I'm like, wait a minute, your ride has a $400 note on it. And for five of your house notes, for five of your car notes, you can get your roof reshingled.
Right.
I think that our priorities as a nation, as most communities go, is a little
out of whack.
They're scatterbrained.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I look back at what my mom used to do, and how she saved money, and that's. That's what made things work. I mean, she fixed. I mean, I was too little to understand what she spent, but as an adult, I get it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because she, you know, I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth. You know, there was no maid, no butler. You know, she wasn't rocking a Merc every time. You know, but we still got from point A to point B. I still had new shoes. I still had new gear. Our house was still intact. She still had electric. I never knew the water to go off. I had a bed. I had a bedroom set. She had a bedroom set. We had a living room and living room set. The thing is that individual, that female, that woman had the power to take care of that home. So I know if we sat mothers down, Hillary Clinton wants to go to be president. Her view is going to be 100% female. That's not a diss toward females. It's just true. How she looks at things is not going to be just political. A guy looks at a car and he goes like, damn, she is pretty. A woman looks at a car and says, oh, my God, that is so cute. I could add this. I can add that. I can add this. I could do that. I could do this. They might not do it. And then some of them do. Freak out the interior. Outside looks like a regular car. And the thing is they have a different perspective. Now, if you bring a female's perspective to the market, to the marketplace, to Wall Street, a mom's perspective to Wall Street, we could probably do a whole hell of a lot better.
I would agree. But and then there's that percentage of women, I think, that just has that, it's a natural thing for them to know how to save money, but the other for the rest of us, how do we get there? How do we go about learning how to save a dollar? You know, from every paycheck. How do we get there?
That's the question.
How do we get?
That's the question. Sometimes it's just a matter. Do you have to have that thing that you just have to have? Not that you know, not the thing that you need. You don't have. You don't. You need something on every paycheck, but
right.
There's something that you do. You have to have what you want on every paycheck. Something you
right.
want on every paycheck.
And
I
the answer
want
is no.
that brand new. I want those brand new shoes that cost $75, even though I know I still got this phone bill I got to pay with 15 other people on the plan.
The answer is no. And for a lot of us, we just lack the discipline to be able to save. We just lack it. We lack that discipline to be able to save it. You know, so I guess it's something that needs to be introduced early in life, which a lot of us aren't focused on, you know, as new parents, we aren't focused on, oh, okay, as soon as my child has the intelligence to understand what money is all about, I'm going to start teaching them how to save. That's not usually the first and foremost thing at the forefront of a parent's mind, you know, as they're raising their children.
I was showing my sons. This is how you have a. This is what a dollar looks like. This is what a dollar looks like when you multiply it. This is what a dollar looks like when you invest it. This is what a dollar looks like when it comes back at you. I told my son, make your money poop. And he's like, what? I'm like, yeah, make it drop a turd for you. Make the dollar drop a turd. He's like, because when you eat, it all comes back out. But my thing is you're eating small pieces of everything, but the return is huge. and I'm like, that's how you make your money. You take a little bit from here, take a little bit from there. You invest that back in, and your return is going to be big. And that's the thing. That's exactly the thing. And we should start teaching our kids. Aside from just teaching them, we should be walking through it ourselves. So
exactly.
I want to make a challenge. I want to make a challenge and say, hey, look, I want somebody to get on Facebook and make a co-op challenge. You know, get a group of people that you have. Get a group of people that you know. Look, 10 to 15 of y'all. And commit to dropping a dime in it every week. Drop a dime in that mug every week for the next year. And see what the outcome will be. Think about it. 52 weeks at $10 a week.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And if there's 100 of y'all, oh, yeah. That's bananas.
That'll make a difference. Absolutely.
That'll make a difference. That's a household. So if you have the same people in the household doing the same thing and they're saving their money, you're actually showing that you know how to make basic economics work,
right?
You can do that.
Again, but the discipline has to be in place too. You have to be willing to put the effort forward to make it happen. So otherwise, it's going to fail before it even begins. If the discipline's not there, so you have to be committed to it, and you have to show some discipline, and know how to tell the difference between a need and a want. You don't need you don't have to want everything, but you do need the necessities. So I would love to see how that challenge comes off if anyone accepts it. So we'll
like
have to
see. I like that. You keep perpetuating it. You keep putting it out there. And you'll see something positive will happen. You'll see something positive will happen. I'm gonna let you know. I like the idea that everybody has the opportunity to grow. Make that happen for your entire community. You know, if you have something strong that you want to put out there, make that happen. If you have something to make your whole community grow. Make that happen. Well, you know what? We've reached that time, and I want to thank everybody and my co, Ms. Z, for rocking with me today. And we like the fact that you guys are there. We want to hear some input. Feel free to give us a call.
Give us some feedback.
855-8662, or you could hit us back. Send us an email at blogtalkradio.com, and make sure people know we want to hear you. Anyway, raise your glasses, bottoms to the top, and remember, every idea is grand, Every thought is warranted. For every step you take, every endeavor you make, may they always be on point.